My bitch is all bad, my niggas all real. I ride his dick in some big tall heels. Big fat checks, big large bills. Run out, flip like 10 car wheels. Cold ass bitch, I give raw chills. 10 different looks and my looks so kill. I kiss him in the mouth, I feel all grills. Heat in the car, that's built on wheels. Woo! I was born to flex, yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets, I like morning sex. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks.
Money.
All I really wanna see is the
money.
I don't really need a D, I need the
Ooh, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Dee Dee, back with another episode of Dee Dee's Daily Dose. But of course, before we dive in, go ahead and jam out to some of that Cardi B, Money. Okay, guys, you know what that means. We're back with another episode of Dee Dee's Daily Dose, and I have a very, very lit guest today. Speaking of lit, how does that wine taste?
That wine is good.
It's good. Okay. So I have Miss LaShondia in the building. And let me just tell you, like, you guys are in for a treat. Like, we're real about to have fun. So, LaShondia, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is LaShondia. That is L-E capital S-H-U-N-D-I-A.
Okay.
You know, that's me. Pretty much, you know, I'm a down-to-earth individual. I'm very outgoing. Like, I love to travel. I'm very well-educated and put together. And I love stash money.
Okay. So, hopefully, you guys have had a great week. Of course, you guys have been able to keep up with the podcast because we've been dropping them every week, every Sunday. And hopefully, we can stay on that same roll. I'm super duper busy, you guys. I've started grad school and working full time and still trying to like follow my dreams. And I've been waiting for JT to get out of jail. So I just been really stressed, y'all. So I need y'all to like, you know, bear with me. But now, of course, you know, my podcast is always about transparency and speaking your truth. And I never bring someone on a podcast unless I feel like they have something like worth hearing. Now, everybody's story is worth hearing, but I know I cater to a specific crowd, and I just feel like you guys are going to love LaShondia. So let's go ahead and start. You know, let's just jump right in. Tell us a little bit about like how you were raised.
Well, I was raised here in Birmingham. I feel like I pretty much had like a good life for myself, but you know, I had different challenges. I used to stay getting put out of school. I used to fight a lot because I'm short, so I used to have to bust these hoes' heads. So I used to get to find a lot. I was very rebellious. So my mom, like...
Okay, wait, pause. You gotta tell me about one of the fights you got into.
Oh, God. Let me see. Well, the one people would not let me, like, live down was this girl. It was a situation with my cousin. She had this boyfriend and this girl. She ended up fucking a dude. So... My cousin
boyfriend.
Dude.
Okay.
Right. So, this chick, so I guess she was like, she didn't want to fight my cousin because my cousin was older.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they was like, well, you know, poo-poo this, poo-poo said this. I'm like, who said what? Now, so she came to me, and you know how people get their finger and they put it in the middle of your forehead.
Ooh, not the finger.
Do not put your finger in my face. So, girl, I had my ROTC uniform, girl. No. I had, listen, I had my ROTC
uniform. Wait a minute. If you went to an inner city school, you know what them ROTC uniforms listen, look like.
Baby, that green uniform on with that brass all there. Don't play with it. Shine them shoes up.
Girl. Get the ducky, get the belt and the shoes ain't shine
listen,
right.
Baby, you can tell me next. But, yeah, so she put a little finger in my head, girl. Next thing I know, I slammed the shit out of that girl and beat the hell out of her. My mama came in and was like, why you beat her so bad? Her eye like it was about to pop out of her head. Do not.
So, but you were fine for your cousin?
Well, I wasn't really fine for my cousin. It was just the point that you came in, you trying to address the situation with me that ain't got nothing to do with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't care who told you what. Don't you come and address anything. That's not my situation.
Right.
You know.
But you know, whenever it got something to do with a dude, people don't ever address the dude. It's always with a bitch.
Me, with a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you that know. Was her nigga. Like, you hear me?
You slept with somebody else, boyfriend.
Right.
So, outside of that, like, what challenges do you feel like you faced when you grew up? Did you grow up in, like, a two-parent home? Were y'all poor?
Not.
Were you privileged? Or, like...
I guess what you call like middle class. Like, I mean, I wasn't poor, but I wasn't rich, but we was taken care of. My mama made sure we took, you know, we was well taken care of. Like, my mom, she always did like hard work, labor. Like, right now, my mom is a truck driver. So she used to work at a packaging company. So my mama always did hard labor work. And so, like, she was always gone.
That's why I eat some spaghetti.
Okay.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
So, you know, like, my mom.
So, were you at home a lot?
I was at home a lot. I pretty much kept my sister. Like, we still talk about this to this day where my, like, when I used to go out on little dates, my sister was with me on these dates with me. Girl, I was like, is this your baby? I'm like, no, this is my sister. My mom at work. But, hey, if you want to date me, this we'll package deal.
So, did you feel like, in a sense, that made you grow up quicker than you have liked?
I feel like it did, you know, but I don't regret it because that's how I raised my daughter now, to be independent. Don't have to worry about nobody, you know, doing anything for you. You know how to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I done a lot. You know, I don't regret anything. And, you know, I'm just out here living life.
So, you mentioned that you have a daughter. And she is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
So, how was your experience? Like, how old were you when you had her? And what was that like? And... So, how old were you when you had her?
I was 24 when I had her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my beautiful daughter.
And how was that?
Oh, I mean, it was challenging because I had literally just, you know, finished college. And my baby's father, he was in the military. And I didn't know he was engaged. Like, he didn't tell me
no,
to.
No, wait, what?
Baby. Yes, honey. He didn't tell me until, like, I told him I was pregnant. He was like, I'm engaged, and, you know, I really don't know what I,
oh my,
you know, to do.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Girl, yeah. It was a mess.
So, when you told him you were pregnant, he told you he was engaged?
Yes.
And, like, how did things go from there?
Well, for a period of time, he stopped talking to me. Like, I couldn't find him. But he just don't know who LaShondia is, because, baby, I'm going to find you.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a fan.
Were y'all dating? And
Let me tell you, we had dated for a little while, probably like 3 years earlier. But because he was in the military, he ended up going to Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lost contact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but because I was in Huntsville in the military base, it's like right, you know, right down from the school that I was attending. And so, me and my homegirls, we had went to Miami. We had turned all the way up. We had came back, still had some money left. So we had went to the club, and my homegirl, she was like, oh, it's this fine-ass nigga up in here. And I was like, well, girl. That's how I'm looking. I was like, girl, that's that nigga I used to talk to. I was like, that's, you know, such and such. And so he seen me. He was like, what's up, man? Where you been? I was like, nigga, where you been? Girl, next thing I know, honey, took some Waffle House and some dick, baby. It was a done deal. Look, not finna let that go anymore.
Look, what you end up
after
the club? Waffle House
ended. Waffle House ended. Baby, routine, honey. So, I mean, so yes, I end up, you know, getting pregnant. And
was it just from that one time? Or
it was
like,
from that one time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's from that one time.
Wow.
Because when we was dating, like, we had never had sex.
Wow. And then y'all just happened to meet up and sleep the other one night.
Yes, and it's so funny because I met him when I was working at the strip club because he had just got out of training.
I was saving it, but see, that's how they tie in together, though. Okay,
that's how it all ties in, baby. You know, it's a story.
So, when did he become like more involved or accept his position as a father?
Oh, Lord, let me tell you about that. So, I had called my daddy because I was getting frustrated because I'm getting big. And my mom was like, you need to come home because, you know, ain't nobody down there with you. And you down there pregnant. I think you need to come home. So, anyway, I was, you know, I was just sitting down thinking because I was just like, dang, it's like basically like I'm finna be this, you know, baby mama, you know what I'm saying? Daddy ain't around type shit. So, I had called my daddy. I was crying. My dad was like, call his commander officer.
Mm-mm.
And you know, cause he was like, trust me, you call him. He's like, he'll get right.
How did you find his commanding officer?
I mean, cause I was in Huntsville. I mean, I know folks. You know what I'm saying? I was calling whoever I needed to call, you know, to get in contact with his commanding officer, and they gave me a number. I had called up there to the redstone. They gave me a number to call, and I was like, I'm looking for, you know, such and such and such. And they was like, oh, yeah, I'm his commander officer. And I told him what the situation was. I was like, right now, it's like I'm pregnant. I was like, I have not talked to him in months. I was like, yeah, he told me, you know, that he had a fiance or whatever. But I feel like that's not justified for you to, you know, just stop talking to me. I don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
I'm pregnant.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, I don't know what to do. I have never had any kids before. I was like, I don't know how you will handle this situation. But I'm like, I'm here in Huntsville, I'm by myself, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, man, I promise you, me and that man hung up probably like 3 minutes, like, hey, man, you call him a commander officer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, you damn yeah. Skippy, I did. Shit, what the hell you mean, nigga? So we end up talking. He was like, we gonna talk, whatever. So it took him about like probably a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally talked, and he was like, what you gonna do? Oh, damn, you mean what I'm gonna do? Nigga, I'm 5 months pregnant. Baby, that's a grown-ass baby.
This a whole
week. Listen, Brad, what is something what I'm gonna do?
She has a name.
Listen,
now.
All I need to know what you gonna do. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but at that point, like, we had made him, he was like, just call me when the baby born. And I was like, big.
Wow, so he didn't go to any of the appointments or support you?
Well, I mean, which was fine. I mean, that was fine because my dad showed up, my friend showed up, they came to my appointments, and I was, you know, that would make me feel good. He didn't have to be there for that, you know. But, you know, things happen, you know, how I did, but it's good. We have a good relationship now is what, you know, I feel like what the point is.
Support. Please tell me you put him on.
Oh, baby, day one. Don't play with me. Soon we got that DNA test back and it came back. That Dana, it came back 9.99%. Baby, don't play with me.
Yes.
Do not play with me. I'm like, because we ain't got time for that.
I mean, I've always seen where, like, I personally have a friend who found out that he had a baby maybe, like, 3 years after the baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a friend who had the baby, but, you know, never had communication with the baby father just for the fact that she felt like she could do it herself.
Mm.
But I just feel like people have to be accountable. Like, first of all, when you have sex with somebody, the purpose of sex is procreation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now we've made it into a thing of pleasure, but the purpose of sex is to reproduce.
Multiply and be fruitful.
So, I mean, my thing is you, like, when you laying down with somebody, you know that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man or as a woman, because it's women who, like, leave their kids with, you know, other people, and then it's men who walk away from their kids as well. If you can't see yourself being with this person, or if you can't see yourself having kids, like, take the necessary precaution.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, of course, you know, it's the saying, mama's babies, daddy's maybes. But I just feel like every involved party need to be responsible.
Right.
So it's crazy. Like, your story is so crazy, but it's so funny because I'm so happy that you were able to, like, reach out to his commanding officer and, like, put that shit in motion. And child support, yes, ma'am. Like, don't play.
I mean, because I feel like it's, you know what I'm saying? We did this together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I'm like, as I recall, when we was laying down, he was like, you want me to have your baby. You know what I'm saying?
Girl, that's what they all say.
That's what that girl, when that...
Just like I seen, what is it? What's the joke? If I tell you, another me, I don't mean it.
I don't mean that shit, nigga.
Like, that's just sex talk. But
condom on, my nigga. Shit.
So when y'all were having sex, he said he wanted you to have his baby.
Yes, that's why I thought it was real. I'm like, oh, I got me a military man.
You know, reconnected.
You know what I'm saying? We done reconnected. Like, we living this best life here.
So
know?
Y'all only had sex at one time and kind of cut communication, or y'all still talking?
You talking about after we had sex at the time?
Yeah.
I mean, we was talking for a little bit. I mean, we just stopped talking when I told him I was pregnant.
Wow.
He tried to get ghost. I'm like, boo, you can't get away from me, honey. I'm coming with a flashlight.
Too late.
Baby.
Listen, we're going to let y'all jam out to some of this J. Cole, and we'll be right back with you. We're going to slow it down because I know we're taking y'all really fast.
Gay, get on this roller coaster.
As a nigga who was once in your shoes, living with nothing to lose, I hope one day you hear me. Always gonna be a bigger house somewhere, but nigga, feel me. Long as the people in that motherfucker love you dearly. Always gonna be a whip that's better than the one you got. Always gonna be some clothes that's fresher than the ones you rock. Always gonna be a bitch that's better out there on the tours. But you ain't never gonna be happy till you love yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. Love yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. Love yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing. Heart beating fast, let a nigga know that he alive. Fake niggas mad, snakes in the grass, let a nigga know that he arrived.
Okay, you guys, and we are back. Oh, this is my song. Whew. All right, so right now, we're going to take you guys a little bit deeper into LaShondia. Okay, so just to kind of bring things back to where the conversation we were having, because he is in the military, and is he married now?
He is married.
So how has it been, I guess, co-parenting or being so more of a single parent? Which would you consider yourself?
I consider myself a single parent. It's only because he's not here. He's in another country.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the communication is kind of there in between. And mm-hmm. it's just only because of the time difference.
Oh, yeah.
But London, she has a great relationship with her dad. And to mm-hmm. me, that's most important, when she can call and she can talk to him and she go visit him. So she's been to Germany twice. Mm-hmm. She's been to Puerto Rico. So she does a lot of traveling.
Do you know, like, what the baby, like him having a baby on his fiance, how did that affect their relationship? Or did you ever receive any backlash or anything from that?
She was very upset, but me and her was able to build our relationship. You know, and because it's not about us. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, this happened. You know, we're adults, but at the same time, there's a child. So mm-hmm. where can we go from here? You know, and I'm just very, you know, just I'm just blessed. You know, because there's no drama. You know, it's just, we had this relationship, we see each other, we speak, we talk about, you know, what London been doing over the years. You know, she just had a baby not too long ago, so.
Okay, that's their first child?
Yes, that's their first child together.
Okay. Was there any kind of, even after, like, you know, his commanding officer reached out to him, what the case may have been, was there any pushback from him at all?
It was. I mean, from that point, the next step for us was to go get a DNA test. So we ended up doing the DNA test, and it was, I promise you, it was like we had opened the letter at the same time, because I was with this guy at this time, and I was living in Georgia. And so it kind of...
So you were dating somebody while you were pregnant?
Yes.
Niggas is lit. How you meet somebody when you're pregnant? And...
Well, we had been knowing each other,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, we had, you know, we was kind of like on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it was just like when I became pregnant by this guy, and he seen how the situation was, like... That person, he was just a very caring individual. So he was just like, I just want to take care of you. He's like, I'll take care of this child like it's mine.
Really?
And he did that. He did that until we parted our ways. But
why did y'all break up?
Girl, when you in that dancing life, you know, you can't get away from me. It kind of take a toll on your relationship. So I feel like that's what it took a toll on
you. So you were in while you were stripping?
Yes. And he met me though.
He wanted you to stop.
I wouldn't say he wanted me to stop, but you know, like I used to have my little side niggas, you know what I'm saying, that mm-hmm. I used to get my money from, you know. And I'm just like, I just couldn't stop. I mean, it was like a drug.
So before we, because I'm itching to dive into the stripper life, but before we go there, so what, how has it been just, you know, having London completely yourself and, you know, her being able to visit him or whatever the case may be, but, you know, not having him in the picture, like, you know, 24/7?
To me, it's been easy because I know how to take care of my business. You know, because I feel like at the end of the day, she's still going to eat. She's still going to get what she needs. And I have a very supportive family. Like, my family is there for me. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have no issues. You know, even when we done moved away, you know, I just do what I need to do. I'm going to take care of my child. You know, so when you go and you know what you got to do for your child, you're going to do it. And I don't stress about stuff. You know, like, how she going to get this, get that. I just make sure she get it.
Have y'all fallen out at all? Since, you know, the whole, you know, process of raising her and trying to co-parent, have y'all had any issues at all?
Girl, the only issue we had was when he see me, honey. He's still trying to get this pussy.
Really?
Girl, he's still trying to get it to him a couple times. But, you know, but it's just like, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere.
She said he's still trying to get this pussy. Oh my goodness. But so he not trying to be with you, he just trying to have his cake and eat it too?
Well, I mean, he say little stuff, you know, to say like, but I'm like, you're not gonna leave that woman. You ain't leave her then, you ain't gonna leave her now. So it is what it is, you know. But I mean, it was fun though. I ain't gonna lie, my baby didn't find a fool. So
girl, y'all, I'm finna pull up a picture. I need to see.
Damn, but you know, it's just like sometimes it's just time to move forward, you know, move on. And he getting bad because, you know, I used to have this hold on to a dream. But
you let it go?
I had to let that dream go.
Do you wish that y'all were together?
I do. I did.
You did?
I did. And when I was younger, you know what I'm saying? But then I realized, like, we two different people. He's a very controlling individual. And I'm a free spirit. So, and we realized that. Conversation, he was like, man, you too wild, you know. You know, if you call it wild, I call it being a free spirit.
So, okay, because this is gonna be probably my favorite topic of our whole podcast. Mm-hmm. And again, just to bring it back, you guys, this is Dee Dee with Dee Dee's Daily Dose back with another episode. I'm here with LaShondia, and you know, of course, this platform is specifically and only exclusively for speaking your truth and being transparent. And that's why I bring my guests up, and that's why I speak with who I do, because they're very in touch with who they are. They don't give a fuck what other people think, and they live out loud. Yeah. With that being said, how did you get into stripping?
Well, it was actually I had just graduated from high school, and they had an amateur night. Mm-hmm. And so, like, my folks, they was helping me get stuff for my dorm, but it was, like, stuff I had needed, you know, to move to Huntsville. And so, I had this older friend, like, we had been friends. I was in high school. I think about, like, damn, that nigga was like an R. Kelly ass nigga. But in a good way.
It's nothing good about R. Kelly.
I mean, because, like, he really, like, you know, like, put me on game and shit, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm talking about, like, money. Mm-hmm. So, this club in Birmingham, they was having amateur night. He's like, I think you should go, you know, man. Because then, you know what I'm saying, you know, I was real slim, big booty. You know,
girl, you know that fresh out of high school. Ain't nothing like that fresh out of high school waist, honey.
Fresh me, honey. So, I was like, yo, because I think me and my mama had got into it. And so, she had put me out. So, I was living with my cousin.
What did y'all get into it about?
Girl, I was bringing this dude hell. And he asked me, because my mama was at work. And she was at work, and he asked me if I could braid his hair. So I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, just come on over. And even though I knew I ain't supposed to have no dude in the house, but you know what I'm saying, I'm like, shit, I'm gonna make this little $20. So so we was up there. Listen, always been a hustler. So I was up there braiding his hair, but he had took his shirt off because he was finna go out or whatever. So he had took his shirt off so the hair won't get on the shirt. So when my mama came home, he was sitting down on the floor. I was sitting there braiding his hair. My mama went out. She throwing everything in sight. Get the fuck out of my goddamn house. What you got in there? Because when he jumped, you know what I'm saying? He jumped up and he had no shirt on. So I guess she thought we was in the dorm. So, you know what I'm saying? But I was just like Twilight Zone, goddamn. I was like, shit.
So
what?
So she bust in while he was brain tapping. And he jumped up like he was doing something wrong and he didn't have a shirt on.
He had no shirt on because he didn't expect my mama to come busting in the door. Like,
did you know she was coming?
I did not know. She had came home early this night. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Usually my mama should get home late. But this particular time,
your
like,
can sense when some shit ain't right. Man,
know when you ain't doing no God. Listen, I was like, damn, because he like, man, your mom crazy as hell. He like, man, damn. And then he like, man, what I'm gonna do, man? You gonna come braid my finish braiding my hair?
So I guess the most important question is, did you finish braiding yourself?
I did all up, listen, because I had got kicked out, so I had a little freedom.
So, but your mama kicked you out then?
Yeah, she kicked me out then. Like, we was into it, and I was like, if I stayed in longer, we were finna fight.
Did you let her know I was just bringing
it down? I tell her the same thing to this day. She still don't believe my ass. I was like, that's all right.
So, have you looked back since you moved out? Like, have you moved back in?
Or? Well, yeah, because I was young, and I was in high school. Yeah, I had just, like, literally, like, just graduated. So yes, I was there. Well, you know what? I didn't graduate. I was in the 12th grade, finna get ready to graduate. And so I was preparing to go to college. And so, so take it back. So my friend, you know, he told me about the amateur night. So we had went there and shoot, I was nervous at first, but then they started playing my damn song. I don't even know what song it was, but it had me crunk.
Ooh, I know we got y'all right on the ledge, but this is my song and I just want y'all to vibe out too. So let's listen to a little of this Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
I recognize your fragrance. Hold up, you ain't never gotta say shit. Ooh, and I know your taste is a little bit high maintenance. Ooh, everybody else basic. You live life on an everyday basis with poetic justice. Poetic justice. If I told you that a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it? I mean, I write poems in these songs dedicated to you and. You're in the mood for empathy, it's blood in my pen. Better yet, with your friends and them. I really wanna know you all. I really wanna show you off. Fuck that, pour up plenty of champagne. Cold nights when you curse this name. You called up your girlfriends and y'all curled in that little bitty range. I heard that she wanna go and party. She wanna go and party. Nigga, don't approach her with that Atari. Nigga, that ain't good game, homie, sorry. They say conversation rule a nation, I can tell, but I could never write my wrongs lest I write it down for real. P.S.
In any time.
You can get it. And I know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song. Alright.
In any time.
You can get it. And I know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song. Really hope you play this, cause oh girl, you test my patience with all these seductive photographs and all these one-off vacations you've been taking. Clearly a lot for me to take in, it don't make sense. Young East African girl, you too busy fucking with your other man. I was trying to put you on game, put you on a plane, take you and your mama to the motherland. I could do it, maybe one day, when you figure out you're gonna need someone. When you figure out it's all right here in the city and you don't run from where we come from. That sound like poetic justice. You were so new to this life, but goddamn, you got adjusted. I mean, I write poems in these songs dedicated to the fun sex, your natural hair and your soft skin and your big ass and that sundress. Good God, what you doing that walk for? When I see that thing move, I just wish we would fight less and we would talk more. They say communication save relations, I can tell, but I can never write my wrongs unless I write them down for real. P.S.
You can get it.
And I know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song. Alright. You can get it. And I know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song. Alright. Every time I write these words, they become a taboo. Making sure my punctuation curve, heavy letter hits true. Living my life in the margin, and that metaphor was proof. I'm talking poetic justice. poetic justice. If I told you that a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it? I mean, you need to hear this. Love is not just a verb, it's you looking in the mirror. Love is not just a verb, it's you looking for it, maybe. Call me crazy, we can both be insane. A fatal attraction is common, and what we have common is pain. I mean, you need to hear this. Love is not just a verb, and I can see power steering. Sex drive, when you swerve, I want that interference. It's coherent, I can hear it. Mm-hmm. That's your heartbeat, it either caught me or it caught me. Mm-hmm. Read slow and you'll find gold mines in these lines. Sincerely, yours truly, and right before you go blind, P.S.
If any time
you can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it. And I know just, know just, know just, know just, know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in the song.
Oh my goodness, y'all, this song take me back to such a place, like, thinking about that. I think that song came out my freshman or sophomore year in college. So like, it really, it's just lit. Like, it just takes me up. I just wanted to share that moment with y'all. But now we can hop back on the LaShondia train.
Baby, choo choo.
Okay, so now where were we?
Girl, we was talking about when I got kicked out of the house, I started dancing.
Okay, so yes, tell us about how you started dancing. You got kicked out the house. You needed some things for your dorm room.
Mm-hmm. And so went to the amateur night and ended up winning the amateur night.
How
so,
was the amateur night like?
Man, it was so lit because that was my first time ever being in a strip club.
Did you have to get butt ass naked?
No, we didn't. We had to, you know, keep our tops on, underwear on, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And really, it was an amateur night, so really, I didn't really have like no outfit. And then I may have some booty shorts on and a sports bra. So yeah, I mean, but my little ass got a dance side twerking, honey, and hit that split because I was a little chillier, you know what I'm saying? Oh, so I had all the moves for,
you know,
the
that hoes love to do that shit when y'all having a dance battle. As soon as they feel like they lose, they fall into that motherfucking split, and that's it.
Listen. But she wasn't losing, though. But I was going to give you that grand finale.
So, okay. So, you won. Mm-hmm. How much did you win?
It was $500.
$500?
Yes.
And so, they gave you the full amount?
Yeah, they gave me my full amount. And I was going to be a prize.
So, okay. Once you won, like, what made you say, okay, I'm going to do this shit for real, for real?
Well, no. I didn't say that. You know, that was just a thing that had happened. You know what I'm saying? But then, what happened was, like, I got kicked out the house. You know what I'm saying? So, I ain't had no money, ain't had no job. And like my cousin, you know, like she was helping me, but you know, she had her own household to maintain. So so then I end up going back and asked the guy if I can work. And so he ended up letting me work, you know, so I can get the things that I needed, because I had to pay like, you know, like some dorm fees and stuff like that. And my mama, because she was still mad at me, she wouldn't give me her W-2s and the stuff that I needed to register for school. So I ended up having to break in her house. Stole some old driver's license and her tax form, because I knew where she kept them at. And, you know, so I could register myself for school. And so that's what I ended up doing. And so, like, that really, like, for me, that was like a platform for me to be able to get what I needed to start my college life. You know what I'm saying? But once I moved to Huntsville, like, I didn't dance for a while. You know, I was just going to school and, you know, being a student.
So, when did you start back dancing?
I started back dancing. It was probably like my junior year, because it started getting real loud. And, you know, wanted to go out, get your hair done, get your nails done. Right. And so,
when you go to an HBCU,
baby,
every day is a fashion show.
Every day.
If you ever been to an HBCU, you know.
Listen,
and I'm swearing my words because this is why I can't get it. But if you ever been to an HBCU, you know it's a walking fashion show. Like, so I know exactly what you mean.
Yes. And then I think it was a Bears You Dare party coming up. You know, it's like, look, baby, I got to be fly. So I was I was a full-time student, and I was working at New York and Company, and mm-hmm. But my whole check basically went to the store.
Girl,
but you know. Yes, Lord. And I was like, man, I need some money. And so at that point, like, I wasn't getting no refund checks. You know what I'm saying? So, baby, you got to fend for yourself. So I ended up going to this white club. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy, his name was Earl. I ain't gonna never forget, older white guy. And I was like, I want to come here and work. But I'm still a student, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, can I work here? And he looked at me. He was like, you really want to work? When can you work? And I told him my days, you know, that I could come in. He was like, well, we'll give it a shot. You know what I'm saying? Just come on in.
Come on in. We'll give you a shot.
We'll give you a shot.
Get motherfucking poles. Get you dancing.
Listen, okay.
So how was the money at the white club?
It was awesome because I didn't have to do nothing.
What you mean?
I didn't do shit. I mean, because I had some, like, my titties was usually, like, really big mm-hmm. for my height, you know.
You had a breast reduction?
I did.
Okay.
And so them white men, they just little big titties. Mm-hmm. So I used to shave them little titties in their face. And then, so you pay $20 a song. So, like, a song with 3 to 4 minutes. So I just sit there, shave my titties in their face, give them $20, gone on. But then I learned how to, you know, my little mouthpiece got a little strong. So it was like, well, you know what I'm saying? Song ain't never 3 to 4 minutes. You might as well gonna give me $20. Give me 5 songs.
Bitch.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? But they used to fall for it every time. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Cause I let them know, like, what's 3 minutes? And they were like, well, you right about that. And I was like, well, I can give you 5 songs. And then, you know, make you feel good. Well, these titties in your goddamn face.
So, what was a bad experience for you, like, in a strip club?
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. This was the day I got fired from the strip club.
Okay.
Listen.
I've never, ever, 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 ever heard somebody say they got fired from the strip club.
I got fired from the strip club. Man, I was on the stage. I was dancing. It was a group of Mexicans. He came in. And so...
She get for me, mommy.
Okay.
She get for me.
So, I'm shaking it for him. You know what I'm saying? So
no more locked doors.
They were spending money. You know what I'm saying? They ain't had nothing but, you know what I'm saying, them dollars. You know, they coming. So, I get a little closer. You know what I'm saying? I want you to smell this pussy. You know what I'm saying? Put it in your face. Yeah. So, girl, he, you know, he was tipping me $1. So, what he did was, because, like, we couldn't show our titties. Like, if we took our top out, we had to have pasties on.
Fun fact. Guys, did you know it was illegal for a stripper to get completely naked in a strip club? They can be down to their lowest form of clothing, but it's illegal for them to be completely naked. Just a fun fact.
Yes, honey. And so... So, you know, I had my thong or whatever. So what he did was he put the dollar in and he pulled my thong back and exposed my vagina. Girl, what he did that?
So he pulled the front of the thong to put the dollar in it and pull your cooch out.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I felt offended. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm like, nigga, you showcase my pussy. You know what I'm saying? To these folks, nigga, this need to be a dream. Okay. Okay. So you up here putting my pussy out here like that. Girl, before I knew it, girl, that Gemini shit came out. Girl, before I knew it, I had to keep this nigga in his face.
You a Gemini too?
I am a Gemini.
Oh, we had this conversation.
We have had to.
Gemini.
No,
I
really boo boo. I am a whole Gemini in the flesh, honey. What's up, twin? Girl, it's hell.
Me too.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So he pulled your
cooch
out.
He pulled my cooch out, and I ended up kicking him in the middle of forehead with them damn stripper shoes.
No.
Girl, he went back. Girl, all his little friends and cousins and stuff, girl, they trying to pull him out the ground. And then here come Earl coming around the corner. Gemini, because that was my name, Gemini. He was like, Gemini, God damn it. I can't.
Girl.
You can kick the man in the face. He's like, you know, we can't have that here. You know, you should have told security. You should have did that. But I was like, man, that was just my initial reaction. You know what I'm saying? You pull my thumb back. You exposed my pussy. Hell, all I know is to kick your ass in your goddamn face. But yes, that was me getting fired from the strip club.
Girl, so that's when you got fired?
That's when I got fired.
So mm-hmm. How did you, you said you met your boyfriend in the club. How did you guys meet?
Girl, I was just in there one day. It was a slow day. It was like a Tuesday. And so that particular day, because I usually wear contacts, but I had wore some glasses, and I had never wore glasses, you know, to the strip club, you know. But for some reason, this was like pulling all the niggas that day. I guess I look, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Looking a little innocent and smart at the same time, but beat you a hoe.
I'm doing this to pass
this girl. Listen, okay? But I'm a real freak down inside. But yeah, so he had came in there because they was all in uniform and they had came in. And we could tell, like, when they was fresh out of training because all of them had that little skint head. Mm-hmm. We was like, oh, money here. You know what I'm saying? They started going to the ATM, getting that little check they've been saving up for that whole little month.
So look, it's one thing
at the Players Club with all the girls in the locker room, and this alarm started going off. So I said, you know what that bitch is? It's money in the
business. It is money. When you said that, that's all I could picture in my head. But that's how it was. Because like when the military men used to come in, because the arsenal was like right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So when they come out of training, they trying to find something to get into because they've been locked. Basically, like they've been locked up. So yeah. they looking for some pussies. So they come in the smell. So, honey, free smells. Come on.
Did any of them ever, like, offer to pay for sex?
Like, girl, they used to offer all the time, honey. But I feel like, baby, there ain't enough money to pay for this.
Was there any other people in the strip club that was going for it? Like,
oh, of course. Baby, right there in the back. They ain't care.
What was the going rate for some coochie?
I don't know. I never sold it. But, you know, I mean, everybody had their thing, baby. I ain't never, hey, baby, do your thing. Make your money the best way you can. But I knew my mouthpiece was stronger than me having to, you know what I'm saying, fuck you, I get more money out of you talking to you right. than, you know, fucking, you know what I'm saying?
I had one experience while I went to the strip club. I think I told you about this. I went to watch my friend dance. Mm-hmm. I went to support her. And another stripper came up to me. I was trying to get this nigga out of my motherfucking ear. So I told him I was gay. Mm-hmm. So he told this stripper to come dance with me. So she pulled her puss out. She was like, come with this shit. Ooh. And I was like, well, what shit? Because I was just playing. Like, I didn't know. But he had bought her over there, so I had to act like I was interested or whatever. Mm-hmm. Text maybe. And like later on that night, my friend was like, oh bitch, she would have turned you out. I was ooh. Like, I am. Okay.
Inside,
but thank
you. So inside it.
But so outside of that, what was, I guess, the worst part about working at the strip club versus the best part?
I think the worst part for me was, you know, to see other girls that didn't have any goals. Because, like, you know, you had the girls that they pretty, you know what I'm saying? They in the club, but they ain't had no goals. That was just like, this was just, this is me, and this is what I want to do, and, you know, this all I have, you know? But all of them had their own story. But I just always seen something better. Like, I was like the preacher. In a dressing club. Right? I was that motherfucker. Oh. I was her. Like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Because if I seen, or they was talking about something, like, some type of dream they had, I'm like, well, go out there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Do that shit.
You know what I'm saying? Let me know when you're doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming, I'm going to support you. And that was, like, real life shit, because I made a lot of friends, you know what I'm saying, in the club. And they, you know, and just to see them reach their goals and, you know, move from that stage to the next
thing. To bigger and better things.
And you know what I'm saying? That just made me feel good because a lot of people look down on dancing. But really, it teach you how to hustle. It teach you about these niggas. You know what I'm saying? Because you meet so many different guys, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it's just like, you know, and it builds your, to me, it builds your confidence because you definitely got to have confidence to get out there and not have barely no clothes on you dancing in front of these men. Like, you got to have some.
Right.
So that was my thing, you know.
So that was the worst part. So what was the best part outside of the fast money?
I say the best part, like I said, like, it taught me how to hustle. It taught me how to hustle because, like, I always been a hustler since day one. But at the same time, like, it was just like how to really get out there and get that money.
Right.
You know, and you don't have to, you know, just use what you got. You know what I'm saying? As far as your mouth. Talk to people. Let people know what you want. Cause all you tell me is what I want. You ain't gonna give me any less than what I want. Give me some money.
I'm out.
Bye. Period. Toodles.
All right, guys. We gonna, you know, take a little bit of break. We gonna play a little J. Cole for you guys for Being Fruit, and we'll be right back with more of DD's Daily Dose. And I'm here with LaShondia.
Kanye, just to show the boys the man now, like Wanye. And I don't mean no disrespect, I praise legends, but this was next. The boy sick, can't disaffect. Life's a bitch and a pussy's wet. My clip is loaded and this is the kisser. Death, black. Me and my bitch took a little trip down to the garden. Took a little dip, oh no. Apple juice falling from my lips. Took a little sip on bitches. Come and go. You know that money come and go. You know that love come and go. Don't shit last. Bitches come and go. You know that money come and go. You know that love come and go. Don't shit last. Don't shit last. You know that. What the hell got hot didn't melt. Only man above me is God himself.
All these other niggas is below me. Word to Fife, Q-Tip, Ali, and Jerobi. But I'm Queens, Cole is the king, and you know that. Start up with a dollar and a dream, and you know that. Never give a bird but your ring, you should know that. Bitch. Bitch. That should be my new ad-lib. Bitch. I got a new one. I finally got a cool ad-lib. Like some cool stuff. Bitch. I'll be at all the shows, everybody be like, bitch. 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 Or you can do the load of tool shit. Bitch.
Okay, guys, we're back with more of DD's Daily Dose. I'm here with LaShondia. We had to take a little break. I had to go pay some bills, but we're back. And just to kind of pick up where we left off, you know, we just kind of finished the story about where you got fired from the strip club. Is that where you stopped dancing?
No. Actually, I had found me another little club to work at in Huntsville. But if you cannot stop me, I'm unstoppable.
So, what? How was that?
I mean, it was cool. I did that until I ended up, you know, getting pregnant. And then from that point, I moved back to Birmingham. And I danced a little bit in Atlanta.
And how was the, wait a minute, because you're not just going to fly by that. You said you danced a little bit in Atlanta. How was that?
I mean, girl, it was a different ball game for me. Simply because, like, you coming from Alabama where you have to be, you know, you have to have pasties on and you have to keep your thong on at all times. Mm-hmm. But as we know, in Atlanta, you got to get bucket naked. You know what I'm saying? And that was totally different for me, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, it was a... It's totally different.
Was the money better?
The money was awesome. I mean, we talking about 12 to 15 the weekends. We talking about 2 to 25.
A night. And so, I guess what you're moving into more of a more fun. Sorry, y'all, we got a little joke going over here. But what you moving into, I guess, more money, and were the people different, the clientele? And
the clientele is very different because, like, they expect a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? You really had to work for your money, mm-hmm. per se. And that meaning, like, you really had to get out there and perform, you know, make your little ass cheek clap, you know what I'm saying? Do something. I had to learn some moves, good, when I got some
lamb. So were you one of the girls that was at the top of the pole that fell, like, 30 feet down and dropped into a split?
Babe, I made it halfway. We made it halfway, but we ain't hard too much to get done. But I had that say, but that split still came in handy. You feel me?
Now, did you meet any celebrities or any interesting people while you were in Atlanta?
I met plenty. And actually, I met, like, Rick Ross. I actually met Nicki Minaj before she even got popping.
Really? How was she?
She was cool. She didn't really too much say too much. She just came and performed because she was like with like these group of niggas, you know what I'm saying? That came and they performed at the club, you know, because they used to always have like where they had rappers to come and perform on certain days to get the crowd to come. Mm-hmm. But that was like, because like when she got mainstream, I was like, I remember her, you know what I'm saying?
So now, one thing that I feel like people really need to know about you, regardless of like you've had a lot of fun, but you've also worked really hard because you have your master's.
I do have my master's in human resource management.
And so how's the road for you, you know, being a single mom, who really got it out of the mud, to say the least, to what was the road to get your master's like?
The road to get my master's, it was difficult for me at first, and that's only because I was working a full-time job, I'm trying to study, I got this child, I got bills to maintain. So, you know, I'm just going to be real and be honest. Like, I end up meeting this dude. And, you know, he was talking about paying bills. I'm like, well, shit, well, you pay these bills? You know what I'm saying? Because my daughter, she usually go with her dad, like, mm-hmm. do the summertime, whatever. So, I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to focus on school. Mm-hmm. And so, he was like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? We really, you know what I'm saying, at this little point. So, he was like, yeah, you know, I'll take care of the bills. And you just go to school and, you know, do what you got to do. So I did that, you know, but I was able to finish up my program. Mm-hmm. And, but I mean, it was hard for me, and it's only because I didn't have, like, I had money coming in, but it wasn't what I was used to. And it just came to a point where when I finished my master program, I ended up coming to a point where I was living in my car.
Really?
Yes.
What happened with you and the dude?
we ended up breaking up because he was a dope dealer, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. And he used to have his little thing come to the house. And one day, I come home, and they there. I'm not there. At the end of the day, this is my home. You're not going to have folks in my house while I'm not there.
When it was a thing, it was a woman?
It was. This little white chick, whatever. And so we end up, his sister had a cookout. This was like the end of the rope for me. Because we had talked about it, because I was like, I don't want her here if I'm not here, period. So we had went to his sister's house, we had a cookout. And so she came to come get her little shit, whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever she did, come get her shit. And so he asked her if she wanted something to eat. Now, mind you, I'm sitting there, you ain't asked me if I wanted anything to eat.
He goes, you know, she was a fiend. He probably trying to make sure she
don't give a flying hell if she was a goddamn goat.
He probably was just trying to, you know, look out for her. Nah, you know, she was in the street.
Hell no. They don't even fucking matter. You get your shit and get the fuck on. But no, but he, you know, he fixes, you know what I'm saying? He asked her if she wants something to eat. She's like, yeah, I want something to eat. He gonna fix her something to eat. His mama, sister, everybody looking at me like, I'm crazy. Like, oh, what the fuck is going on? Like, ain't he here with you? Why is he? Who is this? First of all, his mama, she came and she's like, I didn't raise him like that.
Girls, mamas be with the
mama
shit.
Mama be with the mama shit.
When they like you.
Listen, baby, I didn't raise him like that. Girl, so we end up getting defiant because, like, he had grabbed me, you know what I'm saying, by my shirt and pushed me up against the wall. Like, he was being very forceful.
What led to that?
We got to argue because I was like, I was telling him how I felt. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I feel like that was disrespectful because I was like, I feel like if one of my friends came over, or if I was you know what I'm saying, and the fiend came over, and I'm asking this nigga if he wants something to eat, and I'm fixing his goddamn plate before I even ask you if goddamn...
You hungry. If you ate today.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? But it, to me, it's just the principle because I feel like if I was to do the same thing, he would have felt some type of way. And
right.
I felt a way. You know what I'm saying? I felt like he was being disrespectful. And so he tried to, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm wrong for feeling the way I feel. No, nigga, this is the way that I feel. And how are you going to address it? And so he addressed it as if my feelings didn't matter. So at that point, I got a bat and I beat the hell out of his ass and told him to get the hell out of my house.
Do you feel like they were fucking?
I had an intuition that they was fucking. You know what I'm saying? He say they being or whatever. But I feel like, I don't know.
Like, why you got a fiend here when I ain't here?
Right, like,
and you already know if they ain't got the money.
But then he was like, but you know, she had that money now. She used to give me, she used to break bread. But
was she attractive?
No, she was not. Because I actually end up doing her hair and putting on some makeup. Because I'm just like, bitch, I understand you got a problem. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got their problem. But bitch, you need to put some makeup on your face and do something in your head.
So how did you end up living out of your car? How do you end up homeless?
Well, it came to a point because I was still in school finna get ready to graduate. So it came to a point where I was graduating, but I was behind on my rent because I ended up kicking him out. So, you know, I ain't have enough to cover my rent and stuff that I needed to pay. So, you know, usually it take about like a month before the sheriff come and, you know, get all your shit out the house. So, but before, you know what I'm saying, I was like, well, hell, let me just start putting my stuff in storage. So, I had got me in storage, so I put my stuff in storage. And, shoot, I had called my dad, because London had ended up coming back. And so, I had called my dad. I was like, little dad, I'm in a very fucked up situation. And I had actually just found me a job. I was working at Home Depot corporate office. And so, I was like, dad, I found me a job. You know, I'm going to try to weigh it out and, you know, try to see if I can... at least try to give another apartment or something like that in the midst. But I'm like, I need you to come and get my, you know, get my baby and take her to Texas until I, you know, get myself back together. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know, just help me out. So my daddy flew in. He came and got my baby. And so at that point, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm going back and forth to work. I'm sleeping on what they call back in the day, a pallet.
A pallet.
I'm sleeping on a pallet, you know what I'm saying, in my apartment because I moved everything out, you know, just waiting on
the people to come.
The people to come or whatever, you know. I wanted to try to stay here as long as I could. And I end up meeting this guy. He was like...
Hold on, pause real quick. It's crazy, you know, that you shielded your daughter from all that. Because, you know, sometimes people just don't have the resource to do it. But sometimes people, you know, take their children through those things with them mm-hmm. because they want to be the only person that their children know as far as a provider or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't like being separated from their kids. So mm-hmm. I really commend you on, like, stepping outside of yourself saying, I don't want her to seem like this. I don't mm-hmm. want her to go through this with me. Like,
mm-mm. I mean, you know, that was the thing, too, because I'm just like, she don't deserve it. You know what I'm saying? Because this is my mistake. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? This is something that I need to learn from. But she shouldn't have to go through this with me. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Even though it hurt me, I cried when she left. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just like, damn, I felt like I was giving up my daughter. And I got a lot of slack from my family. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, my daddy wasn't, like, in the area where everybody else, you know, he stayed in Texas or whatever.
Was he the only option to get her?
That could look after her like she needs to be looked out of. Because everybody, you know, my dad retired. He don't do shit. Mm-hmm. He be chilling. He buffing up his Bentley. That's all he do. So, you know, but they can look after her like I feel like she needed to, you know, without having to make provisions to make sure she did this and got this done. He ended up putting her in cheerleading and, you know, different stuff because wow. they needed their time.
How long did he have her?
He had her for about maybe, about 4 months.
So, what was the turning point, I guess, when, like, how long were you staying in your car?
I stayed in my car for 2 months.
Really?
I stayed in my car for 2 months. Cause like I told you, I was working at Home Depot and, they actually had a parking deck. Mm-hmm. And so like they had a gym cause this was like their core rock. So they had a gym, museum, like the shit was lit. They had like the whole cafeteria. So, you know what I'm saying? It was like, shit, I'm like, hell, I can do this. You know what I'm saying? Go to the gym, work out, take a shower, get ready, you know what I'm saying? For work, go to work. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And then, so it was like a hotel that was like right next to the building. I think it was a La Quinta Inn. Mm-hmm. So I used to park over there and get their Wi-Fi because I could either get their Wi-Fi or the Panera Bread. So, you know what I'm saying? I can still, you know, get on my internet, do what I need to do. And that's just what I did. I mean, that was my routine, you know. And then, like I was saying, like I had met this guy. He had just moved from Tampa. And he was homeless too. And so, you know, he was just like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't got nowhere to go. So he's like, man, you know what I'm saying? We need to, you know, just help each other. And we helped each other, like, you know what I'm saying? Putting our money together. We'll get, like, a room on the weekend, you know what I'm saying? And just chill, you know what I'm saying? Just to get out the car and, you know, to eat, you know what I'm saying? But it was, like, good to just have a friend to talk to. And that's I just nice. Feel like God had put an angel in my life, you know what I'm saying, at wow. that time. And
did y'all end up dating?
We dated for a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But he's married now. Like, we still talk. We still cool, you know? But
yeah, if y'all can see her face right now, she's smiling from ear to
ear. Like, that's my friend.
Has been, like, a really great experience.
Yes, I mean, because in that time, you know what I'm saying? Like, we prayed together. Mm-hmm. We prayed together, and we kept each other motivated to know, like, you know what I'm saying? This just an experience. It's just a phase. It's just something that God putting us through. Right. You know what I'm saying? So we kept each other uplifted in that time. And, you know, when I go back and I think about it and I smile because, you know, we used to go to, like, the tallest building in Atlanta and look over the city and, you know what I'm saying, just think about the stuff that we wanted to do and the things we wanted to accomplish. And he hit me up the other day. He was like, I'm proud of you. You know what I'm saying? Because you living your dream. You know, I remember we used to sit there and talk about this. And, you know, and to me, and I'm like, dang, like, this is some real shit. Like, I went through this shit. You know what I'm saying?
And now you over it.
And now I'm over it. Like, now I'm going through some new shit. You know what I'm saying? But the new shit's some good shit.
Oh my goodness. I'm just like, I've really enjoyed talking to you. We're going to play a game really quickly. Okay, so you just really, really easy game.
Okay.
Choose one scenario mm-hmm. or the other. Okay? Okay. You can either have your most disgusting, nasty, dirtiest sex tape released, like the most nasty thing you ever done, caught on camera, mm-hmm. released to your entire family. Mm-hmm. Or you can let a basketball team fuck you and nobody will ever know.
Now, release that sex tape, bitch. I'm because I learned this shit from every last one of y'all. And I wish I would. I ain't just learned okay. this shit. I learned okay. from somebody.
Okay, so next question. You can either have unprotected sex with a crackhead mm-hmm. or let a baby monkey face fuck you.
don't know, them baby monkeys made goddamn lots of money. Come on, baby monkey.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay. You can either submerge one of your feet in acid for 10 seconds or let me drag you butt naked 1 mile with my car.
Whew. That's a hard one. But I don't know. I may have to let you drag me, Khadijah.
You think so?
I think you
butt naked with my car?
Baby, go on, drag me. I had a couple of had some burns in my day.
Oh my goodness.
Because I don't know ass. There ain't no been no ass.
Well, LaShawnia, it has, oh my goodness, it has been so good talking to you. You guys, we met not that long ago, but we really clicked, and she just really has a great story to tell. And I've been entertained through the whole podcast. We've been laughing, we've been drinking wine. It's been a really great experience. And I know that you guys are going to love this podcast. So, tune in next week to see who we're going to have on another episode of DD's Daily Dose. LaShawnia, you got anything you want to say?
I just appreciate you bringing me on. Let me tell my truth, you know, because, baby, this is as real as it gets.
It definitely is. It don't get no realer. So remember, you guys, truth and transparency lead to freedom. Again, another episode of DD's Daily Dose, and we're out. Smoke, but I know he don't want it. Shoot him and his bitch and I up on his home.